Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right, Bewitch, the vintage sitcom that millions grew up with in the 1960s and countless generations watching reruns, 254 episodes to be exact, 23 Emmy nominations and a handful of wins for the top-rated sitcom, Bewitched is celebrating its 60th anniversary. You can watch Bewitched several times a day on Antenna TV. Erin Murphy, who played the youngest witch in the series, Tabitha, joins us tonight to celebrate six decades of this legendary series. Hi, Erin.
Oh, of course. Happy to be here.
Well, you know, this is a series that in an era of only three television networks was a top 10 show for so many years and a household favorite for decades. Pretty incredible to be an early part of television history in the early days.
It's funny because people always say I was one of the founding people, like the part of the golden age, and I'm too young to be part of the golden age.
You are too young. You actually are too young. But you were so little, you know, at the time. And I'm trying to hearken back to like how many little kids, I guess, you know, back in the 50s or where it was like Little Ricky, Leave It to Beaver. But I mean, you know, as far as kid stars in the early 60s, you know, Tabitha and Bewitched, I would say would be one of the tops.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, you appeared in 117 episodes, and I want to go back to a little bit of the beginning. It was said that creator Saul Sack's inspiration for the series, which I know there's a lot of hearsay about that, but, you know, it was a 1942 film called I Married a Witch. There was another a Broadway play called Bell, Book, and Candle, which was adapted into a 1958 movie. And it was all about a mortal marrying a witch. And, of course, the premise of the series was when a young-looking witch named Samantha meets and marries a mortal named Darren Stevens, played by both Dick York and Dick Sargent. While Samantha pledges to forsake her powers and become a typical suburban housewife, her magical family disapproves of the mixed marriage and frequently interferes in their couple, in their relationship. And, you know, Darren worked at an ad agency, McMahon and Tate. And Erin, you can't tell me that the creator of Mad Men didn't find some inspiration while watching the workings of McMahon and Tate in the 1960s, right?
Wait, not only did he find inspiration, he told me he found inspiration.
Isn't that funny? Because I only notice it now after watching so many seasons of Mad Men of how much that reflected really a typical ad agency in the 1960s.
Well, in some ways, I always think of Don Draper and Darren Stevens.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, you know, you were 2 when you started on the series and 8 when it ended. What are your earliest recollections being on the set?
Oh, gosh, I remember really, really early things on the set. I remember, you know, doing scenes in my crib and, you know, some of my earliest memories are there. And then I remember everything later on. So I have so many wonderful memories from the show.
Now, your twin sister took turns playing Tabitha in the very beginning, correct?
Right. My sister Diane and I are fraternal twins, so we really don't look any more alike than sisters. We have different colored eyes, we're different heights, we're, you know, very different looking. But as babies, they were able to show my sister from the back or from a distance, and they kind of got away with it. And then it was clear we didn't look alike. So after the first season, I took over the part myself.
Yeah, they had to stick with somebody. And I remember reading somewhere that somewhere later in the series, and way later in the series, you had the mumps. And your sister stepped in for you, and people caught that right away.
Oh, they did. There's one episode, and we're actually airing it in the Antenna TV Marathon.
Oh, fun.
Where I was sick, I had the mumps, and my sister Diane was brought in, and it's an episode called Samantha Fights City Hall, and the character slides up a slide backwards, and the studio got all kinds of letters, like, why did you replace Tabitha? They thought they could fool them. They couldn't do it.
Yeah. I saw, you know, when I was just doing a little research for the interview, I saw a cast picture later in the series, really in the very late 60s, early 70s. And they showed both you and your sister. So it must have been around that time. And you could tell that there's clearly a difference.
I'm pretty sure the photo you saw, it wasn't from a day of filming. It was just a day. It was kind of a party at
hanging
the end
out
of the season. So, yeah, that's why she was there. We're wearing different dresses.
And yeah.
Is it a casting where everybody's sitting around in the living room?
Yeah,
sort of?
Yeah, that's yep. exactly right.
Yep.
That's
yeah, exactly. She wasn't still on the show then at all, but she came back for the party.
That's awesome. Now, you know, when you're taping a sitcom, and most folks don't know this, you're typically, you know, there anywhere from, you know, and 8 is a light day, but 8 to 15 hours a day minimum. Now, as a child actor, I'm sure it was far less, but you spent a lot of time with these people. What was your relationship like with Elizabeth Montgomery?
It was great. I mean, my schedule filming was different than everybody else, but I was there on set. It was, you know, sometimes 12 to 14 hour days like it still is. And it was great. I mean, I had close relationships with everybody. We spent time away from the set together. Elizabeth Montgomery has three kids who are some of my dearest friends still. So we'd play together on weekends, and it was like another family.
That's awesome. Did you go to school on the set as well? Because, I mean, you spent really the first part of your life on television there.
I did. I was enrolled in a private school that would provide homework, but then I was schooled on the set. And days when I wasn't filming, I would go to a regular, you know, my regular classroom at another school, and then they would send a limo to pick me up and come out and wave goodbye.
Wow. So that's pretty cool for the 60s, having a limo pick you up at 6, 7, 8 years old. That's pretty cool. Now, you were on the show 6 of the 8 seasons because that's when your character was developed, and you spent 3 years with the original Darren, Dick York, and 3 years with Dick Sargent for 3 years, correct?
That's right.
And what was it like working with these two?
They were both wonderful. I mean, it was hard because Dick York was sick, and he had a bad back, and he had some other medical issues. And so the last year that he was on the show, he really kind of wrote around the Darren character. I think we did 7 episodes without Darren at all. And he was in a lot of pain when he was working. So, I understood when he was replaced. And they brought on Dick Sargent, who is also a great guy. So, you know, it went well, I think, for everybody.
Well, you know, and Dick York, he was injured. I think it was a movie called They Came to Cordura. It was
Cordura.
A 1950s movie. So it was a while. So he was suffering for many, many years before he actually stepped down and retired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, was it true that before the new Darren started, because, you know, there's a lot of characters like this. Mrs. Kravitz was replaced, you know, Esmeralda replaced Aunt Clara, so to speak. There was, you know, a lot of deaths and things that happened and injuries on the set. Before Dick Sargent took over, didn't they play like an entire summer of reruns without any Darren, all the ones that didn't appear?
They did. And that's why, as I was saying, we did, I think, 7 episodes without Dick York. So what they did gearing up to the first episode they aired with Dick Sargent, they ran all the episodes without a Darren, and then they thought, well, maybe no one will notice.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's funny. Now, the supporting cast was just as special. You know, and everybody grew up with the show. Well, such a great supporting cast. And on top of that list was Academy Award nominee Agnes Moorehead. She had quite a career before she took the role of Endora on Bewitched. In fact, it was kind of her swan song.
Oh, she was. I mean, she'd been nominated for an Academy Award, and she was in Citizen Kane. I mean, she was iconic and just a lovely, lovely person, too.
Yeah, and people kind of know her from Bewitched, but, I mean, she had a glorious career before she even started television.
Right. Well, and I think at the time, no one knew that TV would catch on.
Yeah, true, right?
Yeah, it was such a new concept. I don't know that anyone really thought that we're going to film these things back in the 60s and 70s and people will still watch them forever. I don't know that anyone really thought that.
Now, growing up as a kid, you know, I could tell you right now that I was, you know, it could be intimidated by her because, I mean, she was angry for most of her. You know, she was always angry at Darren or whatever. How was she off behind the scenes? I assume she was wonderful.
She was wonderful. She was like my grandma. She was nothing like the character. She was just sweet and lovely, and she used to draw little cartoons for me, and I loved her like a grandparent. I thought she was beautiful and just wonderful.
And you had, and the rest of the cast, again, very accomplished people. You know, this wasn't like a fresh, young cast. There was a lot of legendary actors and actresses from stage and film. Maurice Evans, who played Samantha's dad, David White playing Larry Tate. You had Casey Rogers playing Louise, and then the Gladys Kravitz, you know.
I think people talk about Gladys Kravitz next door to their nosy neighbor. It's just that it's become part of culture.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was Uncle Arthur, played by the amazing Paul Lynde, Aunt Clara, who was an accomplished stage actress, which I really didn't know until I was doing some research for this, but quite an amazing actress. Great expressions on the air, and so was Alice Ghostly, Bernard Fox, who played Dr. Bombay. It was pretty cool to work with all these folks, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we are celebrating 60 years of Bewitched, and there's more with Aaron Murphy next. All right, it's the 60th anniversary of classic TV sitcom Bewitched. Bewitched can be seen weekdays on Antenna TV, and Aaron Murphy, who played Tabitha, is joining us tonight. Special effects were pretty rudimentary back then, but for the time, it was quite groundbreaking. What do you remember about those scenes?
The scenes were fun. I loved, you have to freeze to make something appear or disappear, and they had wires of rafters where they'd make things float. And surprisingly, I think the special effects from Bewitched have held up really well. I mean, they did a great job with it, and I think it still looks good. It's not like some of the things where you look at things that were made in the 60s, you go, oh, wow, that's not good. I think it still looks great.
It does. It does. And then I even read that the house is even symbolic, as it still exists on one of the back lots. And you can see, I've seen it on ABC's The Middle.
It is.
Right?
Yeah. They show it on a lot of shows, and a couple of my friends work on The Middle, so they'll send me pictures on Facebook when they're filming there. Like, oh, we're in your neighborhood. We're in front of your house.
Isn't that funny? And I know they really used it a lot in the 60s and the 70s. It was like an I Dream of Jeannie, which was kind of coincidental, that it was like Dr. Bellows' house. It was on the Monkees,
yep.
Gidget, Home Improvement. I mean, obviously when it's on a lot, you get a lot of use of this house, but it's just so recognizable.
Yeah, it is. Every time someone sees it, they know that it's from Bewitched.
There was a Christmas theme episode, Sisters at Heart, that I think, didn't that win an Emmy Award?
It won a Special Governor's Emmy, and it was Elizabeth Montgomery's favorite episode. It was different in that it was written, originally the concept was written by an English class here in South Central Los Angeles. And the teacher had talked to the kids about reading and their homework, and no one had done their homework the night before, but everyone in the class had watched Bewitched the night before. So the class sat down and wrote a Bewitched episode.
Now, the series was actually renewed for a 9th season, and we must remember that Elizabeth Montgomery was married to the producer, I think. Was a producer at William Asher?
Right, Bill Asher, yes.
And I think at that time they were kind of at the end of their marriage, and she just decided, I think we're done with this.
Yeah, it was one of those things where we all left for our hiatus, which is break, thinking that we were coming back, and then we all called during the summer, you know, we're not coming back, just decided not to do the show. So I think it was fine timing-wise. I mean,
yeah.
You know, 8 years is a really, really long run, and I think in a lot of ways, it's like Seinfeld. It's good to go out when people are still watching the show and loving the show, and you don't want those jump-the-shark type moments where clearly maybe we shouldn't have done that last season. So 8 seasons is a great long run, and it's been on in syndication ever since. We've never been off the air, so I was very happy with 8 years.
Now, why do you think it remains so popular after all these years? I mean, again, I just think the storylines are timeless. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing ever been like it, and we all kind of remember it, and we want to share it with our kids.
Right. Well, I think there are a lot of things about Bewitched that make it timeless. I think everyone likes kind of the fantasy element, like, oh, if I could do magic, I could clean my house and, you know, snap my fingers, or
yeah.
I could take care of that bully, or what, you know, I could turn a bully into a bullfrog. People like the fantasy element, and there's also kind of a subcontext that some people pick up on, where it's almost like an I don't want to say an interracial marriage, but it's almost like the character of Samantha is closeted, which has had a huge appeal mm-hmm. to the gay community, because she's someone who couldn't live her life the way she wanted to and had to kind of hide who she was. And, you know, it has that crossover.
Yeah. Plus, I think even just the 60s in general, it's cool to watch that era of television and what's going on in their lives.
True.
Yeah.
I agree. I love all those old shows too.
All right, let's get to contemporary life here. You married a man named Darren. Now, how wild is that? When you met him, where you were like, really?
Wait, the funny thing is, his name didn't even register to me. He said his whole life everyone would tease him about the show Bewitched, and his sister called him Durwood. And when he introduced himself, it didn't even register. I mean, when I meet someone named Samantha, I don't automatically think, oh, that was my mom's name on television.
Right,
so
exactly.
Yeah, it was like that. Everyone else comments on it. I don't even think about it.
That didn't even register. All right. A lot of people, when they are on a TV series, they kind of don't want to talk about it. They want to shy away from it. I love that you embrace the history that you were part of.
Well, it was a wonderful experience. And I have so many friends who were child actors, and we all have different experiences. But what I kind of try to tell them is that we're so lucky. I mean, it's, you know, people want to be on TV, and in most ways, it's really, really fun to be on TV.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's something that people watch the shows and love the shows. And, you know, when we get to a certain age, we get a chunk of money, and that's a positive thing. And
sure.
I've been able to travel around the world and have great experiences now and for my family. And it's all based on being a kid actor. So I only see the positive side of it.
Erin Murphy, thank you so much for staying up with us late tonight.
Oh, of course. It's a pleasure.